And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. You have tuned in to the Week 10 Expert Picks. Joining me today, as they always do for this fine Expert Picks recording, Mr. Jerry Hinn and Mr. Tom Fornelli, thank you so much for taking some time as we begin to dive into, I almost want to say, like, thankfully, a little bit of a light, digestible slate before the storm really begins about next Thursday.
No, every week should have tons of gigantic matchups on it. We only get, what, 15 of them during the regular season?
For weeks?
They should all really count. Yes, weeks.
Tom, your opinion?
I agree. I don't like hearing the words, thankfully we have a light slate.
I like it.
Sorry, but I'm just angry about this, Chip, so I have to interrupt. There are four spreads under 10 points on our expert picks this week, and two of those are 9.5-point spreads, which are basically the gentleman's double-digit spread. So really, like, Vegas is projecting two competitive top 25 games this week.
Well, arguably the biggest top 25 game this week has a incredibly large spread. We ended up picking for the CBSSports.com expert picks. For those of you who are listening to this for the first time, Dennis Dodd, Bruce Feldman, Jeremy Fowler, Tom, Jerry, and myself all make our selections both against the spread and straight up, which you can find on CBSSports.com under expert picks. And so this is where we will debate and discuss the entire collection. We picked the Florida State-Miami game in Tallahassee with the Seminoles as a 21.5-point favorite. I'm going to go ahead and start with we went all Florida State. The only person who's got Miami covering the spread is Jeremy Fowler. So, Tom, you first. If Miami is to cover this spread, how are they going to do it?
Hope that Jameis Winston plays like a freshman for once in his life and don't turn the ball over 20 times, which is what Miami's been doing recently a bit too often. I took Florida State for no real profound reasoning other than the fact that Florida State has won its last three games by a combined score of 163-31. While Miami's been struggling with teams like Georgia Tech, which had four turnovers, it barely got by UNC a couple weeks ago on Thursday night, and last week it struggled with Wake, even though it didn't turn the ball over in that game. They still had a tough time putting away Wake Forest. So for me, it's kind of hard to ignore those factors. I know Miami's undefeated and ranked in the top 10, but I don't think they're on the same level as Florida State. And also, Florida State's 5-2, but I should point out Florida State is 5-2 against the spread this year. And those two losses both came in games where they were favored by more than three touchdowns, Boston College and North Carolina State. So that is something to worry about.
Well, Jerry, I think this will be maybe a 10-point game in the third quarter. But at some point, Florida State, one thing Jimbo Fisher has even said is, I think last year they learned the hard way. They just, that you can't go conservative. And they have shown that, as they will continue to pile on and run their offense, even if Jameis Winston is out of the game. Jacob Coker, very good backup. I see this maybe as a 10-point game that ends up being a big spread as Miami runs out of steam. How do you see it playing out?
I see it playing out as just being an FSU demolition, frankly. I mean, I don't see why at this point we should expect Miami to be even remotely on the same level as Florida State. The record is nice, yes. But as Tom's pointed out, like, they just haven't played like a team that's capable of really giving Florida State a challenge. They've, you know, looked terrible the last couple of weeks, haven't really looked good. I mean, they were okay against Georgia Tech a few weeks ago, but certainly not since then. Their big win this season is against a Florida team that's been exposed a bit as simply not all that good, even when they were healthy. I just don't really see this being a competitive game at all. Florida State has been outstanding at home. They've played four games. They're 3-1 against the spread, and the one loss was sort of a late game backdoor cover from North Carolina State when the Wolfpack were catching 35 points. I just, after this Florida State win at Clemson, like, Clemson's clearly a better team, I think, than Miami is. And that game was on the road rather than in Tallahassee. And Florida State's going to be as focused for this game as they were for that Clemson game. I think this is a 4-touchdown Seminole win.
Very, very big game in East Lansing in terms of the Big Ten Legends Division race. The Big Ten, who's going to end up having the advantage for the berth to the Big Ten title game, which in turn, you know, is a big part of Ohio State's plans if they want to be able to make it to that BCS title game. So Michigan and Michigan State, the way we picked it, the Spartans were 4.5-point favorites. Do you think Gardner DeGallen is going to be able to work against Pat Narduzzi's defense, Tom?
Not nearly as well as it did against Indiana's.
Yeah.
I think this is an interesting matchup to me simply because of, you know, like you said, Michigan State's defense versus a Michigan offense that, for all the jokes people have made about Michigan so far this year, this is a team that's averaging nearly 43 points a game. And yes, the 63 points against Indiana helped that average a bit, but they haven't really had trouble scoring. So it's going to be an interesting matchup from that account. I'm leaning towards Michigan State just because you can't really feel comfortable with any team from the Legends Division right now, but Michigan State is the team I feel most comfortable with considering the way they've played, even with that kind of whatever the hell that was against Purdue a few weeks ago, that 14-0 win. But last week, Michigan State looked really good against Illinois. And also, as I wrote about in Line Study on Monday, Michigan State has covered the spread in the last 5 games between these two teams. So that's a nice trend to follow.
If Fitz Toussaint doesn't show up, I think Michigan's offense falls out of rhythm fast. And Michigan's defense gave up 47 to Indiana, 43 to Penn State. We are actually all picking Michigan State to cover this spread. Jerry, anything else that stood out to you when looking at this game?
Well, just it's not an accident that the Spartans have covered 5 straight against Michigan under Mark D'Antonio. Mark D'Antonio has always made a huge deal out of the Michigan game. He treats this as the biggest game of the season. He does every single year. I think longtime MGO blog readers, my friend Brian Cook has pointed out is that Michigan State's been able to do things like jump the snap count and sort of really be keying on some of the trends in Michigan's offenses that sort of indicate like possibly more than 1 week of preparation for this game. It's just a huge deal to the Spartans. And with the spread still under a touchdown in the game in East Lansing, I'm a little surprised that we all took Michigan State to cover, but not that surprised.
Yeah, it's a much more reliable team when we're talking about one of the best defensive units in the nation. And the way that at least, you know, Connor Cook, Jeremy Langford, things appear to be going on offense, I will take that risk over the risk that is Michigan any day of the week. All right, we are going to the Big 12. Very, very, very big Big 12 game. I do not think Oklahoma State or Texas Tech will necessarily finish as the Big 12 champion, but whoever loses this game, particularly with what each team still has left on the schedule, I think the loser is pretty much out of it. And it's two teams that I can't trust, but that I've each liked at times. Jerry, what was your thought on this game? We picked it at just a half in favor of Texas Tech, so basically a pick 'em.
My first thought upon seeing this line this week was, why are we picking the game at a half point? Like, there are no ties in college football. There's absolutely no difference between half a point and a pick 'em. It was just a pick 'em. I don't know where that number came from. Whoever is behind this, I'm upset with you for giving us a misleading spread to pick. But anyways,
yeah, Jerry, you're really salty about this.
I am.
I bet the guy who set this line was at a party with Carl Pellini before doing so.
Clearly.
That's the easiest explanation. So about the game, though, Texas Tech has just looked good in Lubbock. This is another one of those games, you know, in the Big 12 this season. Who do you trust exactly? Oklahoma State has looked lousy, particularly on the road for most of the season, until last week when they went to Iowa State and just kind of ran all over them. But, Texas Tech looked pretty good against Oklahoma. They kind of took a couple of first half shots, came back in the second half, took the lead, and then sort of faded just a little bit down the stretch. But, you know, that was on the road. I think being at home in Lubbock, again, Oklahoma State, you know, I'm still sort of gun shy from that loss at West Virginia earlier in the season. I feel like if you can't win at West Virginia, I don't really like your chances at Texas Tech.
Yeah, and that game was against Oklahoma was like 14-7 in the third quarter, right? I mean, it was very much a tough game. And Tom, you and I talked about on the rewind, walk out of that game with more respect for Texas Tech. Just the fact that they were able to go into Norman and hang like that, is that sort of what's fueled you in taking the Raiders here?
Yeah, I mean, this is, like Jerry said, this is essentially just who's going to win straight up. And I'm going with Texas Tech simply for the few reasons that Texas Tech's the home team, first of all, which, you know, you kind of always give the slight edge there. And then also, even though I haven't been a huge believer in Texas Tech up to this point, the Red Raiders quarterbacks so far this season have just performed better than Oklahoma State's quarterbacks have this year. And as Jerry mentioned, Oklahoma State has struggled a bit on the road, and I don't really count that Iowa State win, you know, as far as road struggles, because that Iowa State team this season is not very good. So I'm leaning with the Red Raiders to win here. It looks pretty obvious to me, in all honesty.
Missouri, after giving up that 17-0 lead to South Carolina, they get that first loss overall and a loss in conference play, which makes this matchup against Tennessee in Columbia all that more important. The Tigers are 12.5-point favorites the way that we picked it. But since then, we've got a little bit more news. Worley will be out indefinitely because of a thumb injury. Freshman Josh Dobbs in. Jerry, what's your thought on this line, and how would you adjust it? Because once again, we are 5 of 6 taking the Tigers, Bruce Feldman taking the Vols. Would you change it at all with the news of Dobbs being in?
I think you have to.
Yeah, but where would you set it?
Actually, the line doesn't seem to have moved all that much at this point.
No.
The current Vegas line is Missouri -10.5. So, you know, that's actually 2 points less than what we picked at. We picked that Mizzou -12.5, which flummoxes me a little bit. I guess, you know, Vegas isn't a big Justin Worley fan, so to speak. But for me, I think, you know, again, Missouri's just been the better team all season. Tennessee has looked very good at home and very bad on the road. They got sort of, you know, drilled by that Florida team early in the season on the road that we know wasn't, you know, isn't really a good team in retrospect. Obviously, Alabama just crushed them last week. And yeah, that's Alabama. But Mizzou, you know, is a better team still, I think, than they've been given some credit for. They absolutely should have won that game last week. You know, I don't think you can take sort of the final 10 minutes of that game and say, well, this is the real Mizzou. The real Mizzou is what we've seen the entire rest of the season. And that team should be able to comfortably put away Tennessee at home.
Yeah, it really was easy for me. Just the better team. I think they're able to get it back on track. Tom, where are you thinking this game? Anything else you want to add?
I mean, like Jerry said, before the Worley injury, I had Mizzou, and after it, it just became much easier to me. And like Jerry said, Tennessee has struggled on the road this year. They're 1-2 against the spread. And they're losing those three games by an average of 31 points per game. And, I mean, I know two of those games were Oregon and Alabama, who, you know, are kind of decent according to the BCS standings. But this is a team that's just struggled outside of Neyland this year, and I think that's going to continue with a freshman at quarterback on Saturday.
South Carolina finally returns home after 3 straight road games and back-to-back poor performances. Like you said, Jerry, the Gamecocks really did not deserve to win in Columbia, Missouri. And so I would say this is 2 poor performances, 3 straight road games. Tom, do you think that they get it back on track, or is there a little bit of a letdown or a hangover as Mississippi State, which got a pretty good performance out of Prescott last week, as they come to town? The Gamecocks, a 13.5-point favorite the way that we picked it.
Yeah, I've got Mississippi State covering. I think South Carolina is still going to win, but I feel like this is a game that's going to be a bit closer than some people might expect. You mentioned South Carolina, it's one of the more perplexing teams in the country this year, but then with the injuries lately haven't helped matters. They haven't looked very good this year. And as a favorite, the Gamecocks are 2-4 against the spread this season. But also, last Thursday night was the first time that I really saw Mississippi State play this year. And I know it was against Kentucky, but I really like Dak Prescott. So I'm kind of going with just the latest crush on Prescott pick here as well. And I also think, you know, there's a possible letdown for South Carolina coming off that win against Missouri last week. So I think Prescott's going to have a big game, and I think that Mississippi State's going to hang around enough to cover.
Jerry, you and I both have the Gamecocks. I think that this is a get it back on track. They know they deserve to lose that game, and now it is a very easy you know, they can see an SEC title game appearance if they're able to take care of business. I think they do. What's your opinion?
Oh, I totally agree. Like, Dak Prescott, yes, is playing very well. Mississippi State still beat Kentucky by 6 points at home, and Kentucky had the ball towards the end of that game and was driving for a possible winning touchdown when they threw an interception. Prescott may have been impressive, but that performance overall from the Bulldogs was not impressive. They lost 3 straight games against the spread, all of which were at home, so I'm not really looking to them to sort of make a big statement on the road at South Carolina. I agree that the Gamecocks were a little bit due to bounce back. Connor Shaw, you know, we know he's sick, he's hurt, all this stuff. I still think he's going to play, and Connor Shaw tends to play very well at home. South Carolina has kind of been my, like, personal boogie team this season. I think I may have missed my pick on them every single week since week one. I had Missouri last week, so that was fun. But I still think they're just a much better team than Mississippi State, and they're playing at home. I think this is a comfy win for them.
Really, really odd to be looking at the cocktail party and have it not be in our top 25 expert picks, but because it is, you know, it's the Georgia-Florida game, we got to include it. And of course, you know, synergy and all that, you can find the game on CBS. It kicks off at 3:30. You can tune in.
Don't say. Who's going to be calling that game?
And so, Jerry, crazy that it's, you know, what we've got, and just, you know, news even getting worse. You just put up a post, DJ Humphreys out 2 to 4 weeks, starting left tackle for the Gators. Todd Gurley's back at practice. What are you thinking as far as his availability? And what do you make of each of these teams as they're both, you know, 4-3, trying to figure out where they're going to fit, you know, at the end of the season?
I think what I make of them is that neither one of them is going to win the SEC East. They're both just too banged up. I really like the Bulldogs here. The line's at 2.5. And to me, that's, you know, not enough points for Florida to catch when their offense has looked so terrible of late. I think they gained under 200 yards at Missouri a couple of weeks ago. This is clearly like a big game for both coaches, but they're both going to be equally desperate. I don't think Muschamp necessarily has an advantage there. You know, Mark Richt knows he really needs this one to kind of keep things on track. And Georgia's a little bit healthier, I think, particularly with Gurley coming back. They've still got Aaron Murray. They've still got Chris Conley. They've still got that defense that, you know, played better at Vanderbilt than I think the final score indicated. It's all about whether Georgia can finally avoid the back-breaking special teams mistakes. And, you know, with them coming off a bye, I tend to think maybe Richt will finally have that sort of sorted out a little bit. If they don't make those special teams mistakes, they're just going to be too good a team down to down, I think, for Florida to really think about winning this ball game.
What you got, Tom?
I went with Georgia just because I trust the Bulldogs more at this point because, like you said, Gurley's back at practice. And right now, Georgia seems to be a team that's banged up but is at least getting healthier. Meanwhile, with, like you mentioned, Jerry's post from earlier this afternoon, Florida seems like a team that is literally losing another player every damn day.
Yeah.
So just in that situation, I have a hard time seeing this Gators team. Even if they slow down a good Georgia offense because their defense is still fantastic, there's just no way I can envision the Gators keeping up with Georgia on offense.
Gustav on fire. Number 11, Auburn, is 6-2 against the spread. They travel to face Arkansas. The Razorbacks are 9.5-point underdogs. They have not been very good against the spread. These are two coaches that have sort of gone two different directions in their first SEC head coaching gig. My notes on this before I even got to look at you guys' picks was, you know, this is probably one of the toughest calls that I had on the sheet. Pull up the expert picks, and I'm the only one on the Razorbacks. So let me defend myself, then you guys tell me why I'm wrong, because I have no confidence in this pick at all. I'm basically looking at the A&M game and figuring that they'll at least have, you know, they'll at least have an idea of going up against the tempo. It scares me that they couldn't stop A&M on the ground, because that's what Auburn does best, but they're coming off a bye. This is going to be Arkansas' senior night because the last home game is in Little Rock. So for whatever that means, you know, last time Razorbacks, the seniors will play there. And there's got to be a scare at some point for Auburn. I just think at some point there's got to be, you know, a moment where they're going to get shook. And I don't know. What do you, Jerry, you tell me.
Well, I don't think you can rule that out. I agree that at some point Arkansas has got to play better than they've played the last couple of times we've seen them. But that's also because the last two times we saw them play, they lost to South Carolina 56-7 and Alabama 52-0.
Right.
And, you know, the last couple of times we've seen Auburn, you know, yes, they upset Texas A&M, which is obviously stellar. But to come back last week, lose Nick Marshall part of the way through the game and still blow out an FAU team that was playing pretty well coming into that game, you know, certainly by FAU standards, to me was pretty impressive. I think it's just too difficult for me to look at the way Auburn has been playing and the way Arkansas has been playing and make the leap to Arkansas being able to keep this a competitive game. I've picked Arkansas several times this season to cover, and they have not helped me out at all. I've picked against Auburn several times against the spread, and they have typically burned me. So I am done. I'm, you know, with both of those trends sort of colliding in the middle, I'm taking Auburn to cover the 9.5 on the road, which is probably why this will be the week that you mentioned that Arkansas puts it together and Auburn slides back a little bit.
What you got, Tom?
In four conference games, Arkansas's rush defense is allowing 5.72 yards per carry and 10 touchdowns. In
is
four
that,
conference,
wait, Tom, is that a bad thing when you're facing Auburn?
Yes.
Exactly, because in four conference games, Auburn's rushing offense is averaging over 5 yards per carry and has scored 10 touchdowns. So you do the math there, and I think that means Auburn is going to average 10 yards per carry.
Like I said, it very much scares me that the Arkansas defense has to go up against Auburn's three-headed monster, but we'll see. All
How
right.
about this?
Hit me.
Auburn
Wait,
is
more.
6-2 against the spread this year. Arkansas is 2-6 against the spread this year, so they're going to win twice.
Tom, we're moving to the lightning round. Number four, Ohio State on the road to Purdue. Purdue, 30.5-point underdog. And both you gentlemen are taking the Boilermakers. So has Tim Carey been in y'all's ear just a little bit too much?
No.
So tell me, you first, Tom, what you got?
It's pretty simple. I don't like making
lightning round
because Purdue's been terrible. But generally, Purdue gives Ohio State fits. In the last 5 years, Purdue's 4-1 against the spread against the Buckeyes, and they've won the last two games that were in West Lafayette. So that's why I'm taking Purdue.
Jerry.
What Tom said, Purdue just seems to play Ohio State really closely, and 30.5 is a lot of points. I like the Boilers.
Teams that don't always play, but when they do, it has normally been close. Wisconsin and Iowa, the Badgers are on the road. Iowa, a 9.5-point dog. Jerry, what do you have on this game? You've got Wisconsin covering.
I do, because Melvin Gordon is still averaging like 30 yards a carry, and Wisconsin is simply a much better team than Iowa. Wisconsin is, I think, one of the more underrated teams in the country at this point. Again, their two losses are a very competitive road loss at Ohio State and a road loss at a very good Arizona State team where basically they really should have won the game if the official had officiated things correctly. I really like the Badgers here, even at Kinnick.
Hashtag karma. What do you think, Tom?
I didn't like picking this game, but I took Wisconsin because they are coming off the bye. They're 6-1 against the spread this year. But what worries me is Iowa is a team this year that is playing to the level of its competition. When it played Ohio State, it looked good. When it played bad teams, it looks bad. So I feel like Iowa will actually play tougher in this game. And also, it is at home, and they're tough to beat in Kinnick against. It doesn't matter who they're playing. They're always tough to beat at home. So I'm a little worried, but I took Wisconsin.
Northern Illinois continues their streak. They're up to number 17 in the polls. They go to play at UMass. The Minutemen are 23.5-point underdogs in this exact same spot last year, right before a bye and then the midweek MAC finales. Northern Illinois won 63-0. Tom, are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, UMass is horrible, and I'm taking Northern Illinois.
Jerry.
Yeah, Northern Illinois has been better on the road this season against the spread than they have at home. I think they win this one by 30.
Navy battled back against Pittsburgh last week, ended up winning 24-21. They were a 4-point dog and did trail. This will be very interesting for me because I think Notre Dame wins. We've got them at a 17.5-point favorite, but it should. I will be able to use last week's game Navy Pitt, this week's game Notre Dame Navy, because I think that Pitt game for the Irish could be big if they do have any BCS hopes left. What was your read on the game, Jerry?
My read on the game is that Notre Dame, as we saw once again last week, has just been stomping the tar out of service academies since Brian Kelly arrived. You know, you go back to the first game of last year in Dublin when the Irish won 50-something to Navy, was in the teens-something. You know, they've done similar things to Army. The Air Force game last year was a total blowout. Notre Dame just seems to have a very firm grip on how to attack the option, and I think this is going to be another blowout, frankly.
Yes, I agree with you. Tom?
I took Notre Dame for much of the same reasons. They're just too athletic for Navy overall on both offense and defense. And then also, having this game in back-to-back weeks against the Air Force, Navy's one real advantage coming into this game is, you know, forcing Notre Dame to prep for the option offense. But Notre Dame's been prepared for it since last week, since Air Force ran a very similar offense. So I also see a Notre Dame blowout coming our way.
Yeah, Kelly and Diaco have the option figured out. This is not too intimidating for them. Nevada at Fresno State, the Bulldogs, 21.5 point favorites. The Bulldogs won in Reno last year, part of a disappointing three-game slide for Nevada, and this is a very tough task. Nevada had to deal with Devontae Davis. Now there's Devontae Adams. Fresno State handled UNLV 38-14. Tom, what's your thought on this game for the Bulldogs?
I think Florida State's going to win, but against the spread, Fresno Bulldogs State haven't been very good. They're 2-5 overall, and they're 0-4 at home. So because of that, I'm leaning Nevada.
Jury?
Same thing. Fresno is this year's Hawaii, this year's last year's Northern Illinois, or this year's Northern Illinois, however you want to split it. They haven't been blowing people out the way you really expect a BCS buster to blow people out, or the way they blew out people last year. Honestly, they were playing better football last year when they lost a couple of games than they've been doing this season. I just don't trust them to cover a 3-touchdown spread.
Yeah, didn't cover against UNLV. Fresno State did not cover against Boise State or Rutgers, and there's a hook. I think this number will be close to it, but I also took Nevada. You guys know what time it is?
Lock them up!
Locks and quarantines.
Locks and quarantines. All right, Tom, stepping up first. What you got? Give me some locks first.
My first lock is Northern Illinois for the reasons I mentioned earlier of UMass being horrible at football. But my second one, it's another top 25 game we picked. I'm taking UTEP plus 45.5 because the Miners are not a very good team. But what they do well is run the football, and they're facing a Texas A&M defense that, as we all know, does not do a good job of stopping the run. So I feel like that A&M defense, asking them to cover 45.5 points is a tall order. So I feel very good about the Miners covering that spread this week.
Jerry, before your locks, is that one of your locks as well, or do you feel as confident?
In Texas A&M and UTEP, no, I'm not confident in that game at all. I think Texas A&M is an angry team still about that Auburn loss, and you know, any team that can score 60 points, I think, is a threat to cover even a very large spread against a team that is not very good. Now, my lock would be UCLA minus less than 4 touchdowns against Colorado. Colorado, to this point, has been the same old Colorado against Pac-12 competition. They've lost 4 in a row against the spread. UCLA's defense looks surprisingly good for at least the first 3 quarters against Oregon. I think coming home where UCLA has been very good this season, I think they're going to pretty much roll the Buffaloes.
Yeah, and we don't know about Paul Richardson yet, right? Which is really sort of the only offensive highlight of Colorado's season thus far.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And on your UTEP note, Sumlin was 3-1 against UTEP in the CUSA. But I don't know if UTEP gets 2 scores.
CUSA!
Quarantine.
That's a new one. Like, do you know people who are like East Carolina fans, Chip, that call it that? Or is this just like a thing you're trying to catch on here?
According to Bruce Feldman's embed with Texas A&M, it's how Sumlin will sometimes refer to it when he's sitting around with his coaching staff. Like everybody that was back at the Houston days, you know, and like in Sumlin's thing, in Feldman's piece, he had a little like parentheses. He was like, which Sumlin pronounces Kiusa. And I could just imagine him, you know, like down there with all the old Houston boys and Texas A&M suite facilities, just laughing about those days playing, beating up on UTEP in the Kiusa.
That's awesome.
When the, back when the CUSA was still the CUSA, not the Sun Belt.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of quarantines, Jerry.
I do not feel confident really about that Texas Tech Oklahoma State game. First of all, the other game is Clemson and Virginia. Clemson's, you know, coming into this season had been very, very good about covering against ACC teams, particularly as a favorite, either on the road or at home. They just haven't done it this season. I really thought they were going to blow out a Maryland team that's just completely devastated by injuries, and it just never happened. Like, they put up the yards, but they kept stalling in the red zone. You know, they allowed like a late backdoor covering touchdown. So now they're on the road at Virginia, 17.5. And Virginia's been awful, but I just have no confidence in Clemson to really be able to go out and blow a team out on the road anymore. It just doesn't seem to be happening for them.
Yeah, Virginia's lost 5 straight, but they played Georgia Tech tough. They blew a lead against Duke, and they really should have beaten Maryland. They shot themselves in the foot on that one. David Wadford having good games, but that Cavs team in desperate need of a win. I don't think they get it. But man, I agree with you. I've got Virginia, but just as much no confidence. I would stay away from that game. Tom, what's a good quarantine you got for me?
The two that I've chosen are the Arizona State and Washington State game. Arizona State's an 11.5-point favorite in that game on the road. But the Sun Devils really haven't been very good against the spread on the road. And on the flip side, Washington State hasn't been good against the spread at home. So it's hard to figure out which way to go there. And the other game I'm staying away from is TCU minus 13.5 against West Virginia, because just no thanks. I have no idea what to expect from either of those teams on any given week. So when they're facing each other, and I see your first reaction is TCU covering 2 touchdowns. Come on, I've seen that offense. There's no way in hell that's happening. But then you're like, but it's playing West Virginia, so I don't know.
Yeah, this year's Big 12 is being sponsored by the Airheads flavor White Mystery. It's just impossible, really, I think, to tell what's going to happen in that league. From a week-in, week-out basis. I don't know what to make of it either, other than Baylor is going to score a crap ton of points. And you guys picked Kansas to cover against them. What were you thinking?
They almost did. I was like a fourth quarter. I was one play away from Kansas covering that damn spread. So, and then things fell apart. I don't talk about it anymore. Seriously, Kansas was in position to cover that in the fourth quarter, and then I think it was a fumble.
Jerry, how confident are you in Arizona State?
Two TDs, but what was that, Chip?
How confident are you in Arizona State?
Not particularly confident, but as I think I've mentioned a couple of weeks, Todd Graham has been much better in the favorites position than in the underdogs position at Arizona State. And, you know, Washington State just I don't really trust them to cover less than 2 touchdowns against a very good team, which, you know, Arizona State I think is. They played very well last week, and obviously the week before that, you know, against Washington, just blew them out of the building there in Tempe. So it's not like I wouldn't bet my life on it, but, you know, I'm reasonably confident, I guess, maybe.
Hey, at least they're coming off a bye, because I would not pick Washington State if it was after 89 passes were thrown by Connor Halliday. At least he's had time to ice that arm. What were you about to say, Tom?
I was about to say a word I can't say on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, yeah. don't do that. Anyway, make sure, guys, if you have not subscribed to this podcast and you're listening to it on CBSSports.com, or maybe somebody sent you the link, that you get on iTunes and you subscribe, because we are bringing you a ton of content. We are reviewing the week. We are previewing the week. We've got features in the middle. And normally, if somebody else stops by, we will try and find a way to squeeze them in. Just last week, we had you ready for a name drop, guys?
Yes.
Oh, let's hear it.
We had Ron Zook on the podcast. You know, very happy about that. And but anyway, we will be bringing you all the best stuff. So get on there, subscribe, review, rate, all those good things. For Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnan, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.